The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling. I am, as always, your host, Strigger, and as always, right from Tennessee, or beautiful Tennessee, I might say, Dylan. Dylan, how are you?
I'm in the zone right now, Strigger.
Oh.
I'm so ready to go on this show. I've been looking forward to this every single day since we've had our prolific, you know, silence these last couple of weeks. I will just want to say, too, that the followers of this show know our ongoing storyline in NFL of the Panthers, my team, and our favorite listener, Jesse's team, the Saints. And I would just like to say they are both incredibly disgraceful. Last night was a horrible loss for the Panthers, just a complete comedy act of a football game, something you would never believe, and I truly believe if I had my way, and I was talking to someone this on Twitter, someone who doesn't know anything about football, by the way, but
great way to talk to someone.
Yes, someone from England who does not know anything about football. But I was telling them,
Yeah,
the Saints need to be moved to England because they're terrible, and the Panthers should be moved to Germany. That way, they really will be the official team of the Eastern Lariat. And I will say the one good thing about us, though, is that we are truly the Yoshihashi of the NFL, the Panthers are. So I take pride in that, Strigger. And that's the one thing that gives me solace. Even though I lost $10 on this game, I put $10 on the Panthers to win, our hated rivals, and we lost. And John Gruden, one of the commentators, and I believe that this was a shot at me personally, I believe he listens to this show, he referred to the Buccaneers, the team we were playing, as the Young Bucks. And I think that was a sign that they were going to win that game. And I was very disappointed.
Yeah. People are really getting to you this time around here. But you made a great transition to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And before getting into it, we are going to have two back-to-back episodes, because there is so much going on in the world of Japanese wrestling, that we are going to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling Noah in this episode, and we are going to have another episode this week talking about the other promotions that we usually going through, like All Japan, Big Japan, and some DDT.
All the companies
as well.
I like the best,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Right. But yeah, Yoshihashi was on this show as well, but not in a prominent position. He was in the opening match. But before the opening match of King of Pro Wrestling in Sumo Hall,
the Young Bucks put ahead of Yoshihashi, much like an NFL.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
In Sumo Hall, in front of 9,671 fans. Not a complete sellout, but fairly good house. There was an TV anime Tiger Mask W broadcasting anniversary special match, with Tiger Mask W defeating the Red Death Mask. And Dylan, this was incredible, right?
I couldn't believe it when this man, the real life Tiger Mask W, the anime that I would like to plug that I will be watching between now and our next set of episodes, I will be watching the show, and I'll give you guys the scoop on if Tiger Mask is good or not. But what was good was this match here, because we saw Tiger Mask pull off amazing moves, and moves that I feel like I've seen someone else do, but I couldn't put my finger on it while I was watching, and I came to the only logical conclusion, and I know that you agree with me on this. And who did you think it was at first? And I think it was the same person I thought it was.
Well, my first impression was, of course, Kendo Kashin.
Thank you. I knew it. I feel vindicated by that. I said this on Twitter. Many agreed. And many speculated that you didn't like Tiger Mask because he was Kendo Kashin. But we'll get more on him tomorrow. Okay, so
Tiger Mask W, as soon as he did the standing moonsault press and the way he carried himself, the way he moved, then he did the golden triangle moonsault to the outside. It was very obvious I love you, Kendo Kashin, but it was great to see that the guy who this past week said he wants to be a freelancer in every sense of the word, he just does what he wants to do, and he competes for New Japan Pro Wrestling in a dark match playing Tiger Mask, while later this month he's competing for WWE in the Dusty Classic Tag Tournament, teaming with Hideo Itami. It's great to see that Kota Ibushi is just having fun in pro wrestling.
Just one of my favorite and most inspirational guys going right now. Just a guy that doesn't care about money or fame. He just does whatever he wants, and he wanted to be Tiger Mask, so he lived his dream, and I was very appreciative of that. And it was great to see him. I could tell by his birthmark when he walked out. That was very noticeable. But everyone knew this, and it was very hilarious on Twitter to see everyone figure this out. It was just an awesome thing to happen.
Yeah.
Only in wrestling, right?
Yeah. So I think Dan, the Dazzler Dan, made the comment that there is only one business where Kota Ibushi could exist, and that business is pro wrestling. And that's true.
You're right. You're totally true on that one.
Yeah. But yeah, this was the match for the Tiger Mask commercial, basically here. Don't think we have to talk about the undercard very much. I think only about the Noah versus New Japan 8-man tag match with Goshi Ozaki, Maybach Taniguchi, Katsuhiko Nakajima, and Masaki Tamiya defeating Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, Yuji Nagata, and Manabu Nakanishi in about 12 minutes when Goshi Ozaki hit his Go One Lariat on Nakanishi.
He's going on board again, as the t-shirt says, with the Lariat.
Go One.
Yeah, Go One, board again. And what a great lariat here. And what a great match. Just the crowd, amazingly hot for this. They totally buy into the Noah guys as legitimate threats. They all obviously buy into the legends and the old guys as really great defenders of the lion, pretty much. And Nagata especially. Nagata and Nakajima had great interactions. Post-match, there was a wild brawl, as always. And again, Nagata and Nakajima stood up to me, but really everybody on the Noah team looked really good. And most of the other three on the New Japan side did look good too. Nakanishi, you know, you take what you get from him, but this is a really good match overall.
Yeah, with a lot of heat behind it. And yeah. Some people said that it would have been better if Shibata had been in this match. But this match was really about building up Nakajima and Nagata for a match, possibly at Wrestle Kingdom. So I didn't miss Shibata in this match, and I thought it was perfectly fine for what it was, and had a lot of heat behind it, as I said. And so just a fun match, fun interpromotional rivalry between Noah and New Japan, and these guys, and especially Katsuhiko Nakajima. He's man,
yeah.
as the evil villain coming in as the promotion into the promotion and just wrecking on the veterans here. He enjoyed this so much; you could see it in his face.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love Go in his role too. I think he's really in a good place in New Japan as the guy that everyone hates, which is very similar to the role he plays in Noah of the guy that everyone hates. But in New Japan, at least, is beneficial to the storyline and beneficial to him and the company. And I think he played his role very well as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly did. And from that match on, we went to the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title match with Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, defending against Ricochet and David Finlay, who, in the absence of Matt Sydal, has been given this opportunity to first be the partner of Ricochet and Kojima in the NEVER Openweight 6-man Tag Team title match last month, and now he had the chance for the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title. And I really liked this match. Dylan, how did you think about this match?
Yeah, me too. I totally agree with you. I think Finlay showed super fire here, and I'm just a huge fan of Finlay here. You could tell when he won the six-man titles last month at his match, you could hear the Japanese announcers, if you listen to the Japanese commentary, screaming, "No more young boy! No more young boy!" And I thought that told a great story. Obviously, you're replacing Matt Sydal. Who knows what's going on with that guy. But this match here, Ricochet and Finlay, great team. And the Young Bucks are really in their perfect position here.
Yeah.
Despite me normally not really liking their matches all that much, because they always seem to blend together, this, to me, was a great storytelling match, and the Bucks are just insufferable assholes to this young rook, Finlay, and I thought it was great here.
Yeah, I usually enjoy the Young Bucks, but there's often not much to say about their matches, because there's just move after move, and you know, but this time around, they really showed much disrespect to young David Finlay, who is right on the verge between Young Lion and a full-blown roster member of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And they disrespected him and didn't accept his development. And that played into the match perfectly, the Young Bucks being those assholes, as you mentioned. Finlay having to fight back, and also he and Ricochet have become a good team in such a short time. They do this move where Finlay has the opponent on his shoulders, does a DVD onto the knees of Ricochet, and they also do the Finlay roll into the shooting star press, which is what they used to win the Never Openweight six-man tag team title with. And they tried it here as well, but it backfired, and in the end, the Young Bucks defended the championship, but a very good match and a very good outing for David Finlay here.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love that finishing move, too. It's kind of a takeoff of the more bang for your buck. Just a great little storyline instance. And I just love, in general, in wrestling, when somebody or a team takes a move that's already known and tweaks a little bit to make it even better. And they're just a great team. Really love these guys together.
Yep, totally. Totally agree. And one little thing about David Finlay, there is an interview up on New Japan World with him. In this interview, he says about excursions. He says, well, he's living in the U.S., so if he wanted to wrestle in the U.S., he just would. And so, well, maybe they are not sending him away. Yeah. Maybe they are not sending him away. Who knows? Who knows? But yeah, following this match was the IWGP Tag Team title match. Tama Tonga and Tangaloa beat the Briscoe brothers to become two-time IWGP Tag Team champions. And except for a very good counter to the Doomsday Device, this match was all right, but there wasn't much to it, I thought, sadly.
Yeah. Yeah, they tried hard. It's just the crowd wasn't into it.
No.
I think a lot of that comes down is on New Japan for just doing a really crappy job of introducing the Briscoes.
Yep.
You know, them boys have great characters, but not so much that resonate with the Japanese crowd, I feel like. So they could have used a little bit of time. And Jay particularly, both of these guys, are such great talkers. They would have really gotten the American fan base really interested in them. They worked hard. You know, Jay, when he got a hot tag, he ran wild. I thought that was really cool. You know, he had a suicide dive at one point. But, you know, just, you can only do so much with these teams. And it's almost like, you know, the crowd didn't care, obviously. These are just four guys that they don't really know anything about besides Tonga in the system. But just, these guys just aren't over. That's the problem. And also, a problem for me watching was that everyone knew the Briscoes would lose because Final Battle coincides with the World Tag League, so you knew the Briscoes weren't going to miss Final Battle, so that's how it worked out.
Yeah, and the Briscoes, you know, why would you care about the Briscoe brothers? They come in for two or three shows every tour, they win the championships, and they leave again. That's what you get when you only follow New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's what you get. If you're following Ring of Honor, obviously you're getting more, but you can expect everyone to be following Ring of Honor, of course.
And that's true. They appear to not learn that lesson. Looking at the next match on the show,
another great transition. Quickly mentioning the aftermath of this match, as Tama Tonga and Tangaloa continued to beat down the Briscoe brothers. Tomohiro Ishii came out to trying to make the save, so he is up for a tag team title challenge, finally.
Yeah.
But yeah, you mentioned it already. The next match, we had Tanahashi, Michael Elgin, Kushida, and Jay Lethal going against Los Ingobernables de Japón, Tetsuya Naito, Sanada, King of Darkness Evil, and Bushi. Yeah, and people, when this card was announced, were asking themselves, why is Jay Lethal on the New Japan side and not with Los Ingobernables? Well, that happened on Ring of Honor television. So, yeah.
I didn't know this until afterwards, until you told me about it, pretty much. It's just one of those things that this could have easily been solved. All these problems could have easily been solved with like a 5-minute video package explaining this happening. So I don't know why they didn't do it, but this is more just to set up the pairings that we would see later on coming up on the next tour and probably heading into the Dome. This more just set that up than was, you know, much on its own. But yeah. I thought everybody looked pretty good here.
Exactly. Especially, I think Michael Elgin looked very good in this match. He very much looks to me like the new Dr. Death Steve Williams, you know? Especially with his rope and the way he carries himself. He's growing into this role of the we have Kenny Omega 2, maybe into the role of the second top gaijin on the roster. But certainly, they were coming out to his music. He's now in a storyline as you wanted him to be following the G1. And I think there are big things in the future of Big Mike.
Yeah, Big Mike. He's just done such a great job to win over the fans. I think that's a great comparison that you made to Doc Death. When he comes out, he also has that face a little bit, that grimy face. You know, before you could see that he's bald, obviously, but when you just see his face covered with the hood, he definitely has that kind of Doc Death look to him. And to me, I think it's great that he's getting this push. Tanahashi's shockingly not the leader of the team here, but I don't think that will, you know, he'll take a backseat for too long. I felt bad for the post-match where poor Kushida was already injured at this point, most people think, and Evil did his chair / baseball bat spot that's incredibly reckless and certainly did not help his injury. And then Bushi hit the MX on Kushida, which, you know, and how's his status looking? He's off to Taiwan, I've heard.
Well, the status of Kushida is he took this bad-looking backstabber from Bushi, mm-hmm. seemed to have hurt his shoulder, but it turned out it's what they told us is that he has a neck injury, but he's supposed to be back in November. So hopefully it's not too bad. The initial thought that everyone had was that he has a wrist injury. Because he was holding his arm, but apparently it's a neck injury, which is never a good sign. Yeah, hopefully Kushida will be fine. Hope they...
Speaking of neck injuries.
Yeah, speaking of injuries, Katsuyori Shibata, he has a spine injury or had a spine injury, I don't know.
I saw on Twitter where the English commentary said it was a rumored injury. Yeah, Shibata missed all those shows. Very, very, very rumored. He was rumored to miss those shows.
Okay.
I don't listen to English commentary when I watch these shows anymore.
Yeah, me neither. There was one moment, I believe, in the opening match with Tomohiro Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Will Ospreay going over Adam Cole, Bad Luck Fale, and Yujiro. I think in this match, I was listening to the Japanese feed, and I heard Steve Corino yell, Cole! I believe, in this match. It even blended over to the Japanese feed. It was great.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we have to talk about Jay Lethal in this match, as he pretty much did nothing. I don't know why they brought him over for this match, to be honest.
No, it didn't really make any sense. I saw Lethal and Naito's match at the All-Star Extravaganza. It was not. There was two great matches on the show. I did something insane, completely out of character, and watched that show live. I paid for it. but unfortunately, Naito and Lethal, they did not have a great match. And Lethal, this storyline hopefully is coming to an end, because it really hasn't connected in Ring of Honor or Japan, especially not Japan.
Yeah.
But
Well, yeah, that's from one Canadian and one injury to a rumored injury and another Canadian, as in the Never Openweight title match, Katsuyori Shibata and Kyle O'Reilly had a freaking awesome match, which ended after 18 minutes via referee stop when Katsuyori Shibata hit his penalty kick and then held on to Kyle O'Reilly with the body scissors sleeper hold he also did in the G1 climax. And I just loved every single second of this match. This is the best shoot style we are getting in this era of professional wrestling. Every single submission spot in this match was done so well, with, for example, the Manjigatame that Shibata had on Kyle O'Reilly. When O'Reilly was reaching for the rope, Shibata was transitioning to the other arm to prevent O'Reilly from reaching the ropes. And just also the triangle chokes they did and the cross arm breakers, everything just worked so well. And I'm just so glad that Kyle O'Reilly is getting these opportunities right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on this match. I loved when they did the technical style, the shootish style with Shibata and O'Reilly. And even when they took the pace up a bit, when they started hitting suplexes on each other, I thought there was a great sequence there that ended with a PK that both men were down. As you mentioned, the finish, one of my favorite finishes in New Japan and in wrestling, because it just puts over Shibata so well, and he looks like a complete madman and a complete animal when he locks in that rear naked choke, and you know it's over when he does. And I was so happy he's been bringing this back lately. That was one of his original moves that he stopped doing for a long time, the rear naked choke, or only used it as a setup for the PK. And to me, I think it looks awesome, and this was the best match on the show at this point, and I can definitely see you considering this as the match of the night here. Really cool stuff.
Yeah,
and like you said, totally agree on O'Reilly too. Bulking up, he's ready for a more exemplary push. I think that he has a lot of upside with him, and I preferred this match to Shibata's match with Fish last month.
Two things: happy that there was no shoot headbutt this time.
Yeah.
Second,
no more blood, no more bleeding headbutt.
Right. Going into this match, New Japan knew what they had to do with Kyle O'Reilly. After this match, going out, they even more know what to do with him. I thought he already had his breakout last year with the great match with Kushida in the Best of the Super Junior Finals. Then they went back to put him into Red Dragon. The Red Dragon act, the act is great, of course, but Kyle O'Reilly on his own, as we saw here, fits perfectly with guys like Shibata, and they just had a great strong style match. It's just amazing to see how those guys are bringing back the strong style to New Japan.
They're bringing back the Makai Club.
That too. maybe they are bringing that back. But yeah, it was great, and the aftermath of this match was also great, with Goshi Ozaki coming out, challenging or staring down Shibata. But Dylan, it was all a swerve.
He distracted Shibata while the real enemy, Evil, came in and attacked Shibata here, setting himself up for the next. Yeah, it was Evil.
Those Noah fuckers,
Yeah. Go was a great... Even just standing there, he had like such a smarmy look to him. I thought he played his role really well. And Evil comes in. He backed off when Evil came in. Just no help or anything like that given. Evil attacks Shibata and sets up two... I really thought this was great. Shibata has a ton of challengers. It makes the title, I think, upgrades the title as well as Shibata for having these multiple challengers coming in.
Yeah. We are going to talk about the next tour. But before that, we have two matches left on this card. As then the Tokyo Dome number one contendership was on the line, the briefcase. Kenny Omega defending against Hirooki Goto, the man he faced in the G1 finals. And finally, after 8 months, after he should have shown up for his heavyweight championship shot, the evil Goto showed up as he attacked Kenny Omega with a briefcase. And he was just toying him around and being the mean Goto that everyone wanted to see in February. And now here he was.
Yeah, he rocked. But the thing in February that you don't understand, Strand, these people don't understand. He went on a quest under a waterfall. He met the spirit of Akushi. He had the monk, spirit of the monk with him that match. He could not be the warrior Goto. And here he had the spirit of Aramusha we saw before.
Right.
And he rocked in this match. I loved his performance, and this is my favorite match on the show, even with interference and stuff. The Young Bucks were at ringside. Yoshihashi was there at ringside too. The dream team, Yoshihashi and Goto together. Yoshihashi made the save at some point. Goto hit some sweet moves here. I loved his Kaiten off the top. Shoten Kai, but what really made this more than the moves necessarily was the emotion shown by Goto. The fire he showed here, the facial expressions, and what a finish it led to here. How did he look here when Omega had him on his shoulders here?
He wanted to avoid the Katayoko no Tenshi, but in the end, it was just... Kenny Omega was just too strong for Goto again. It was a great struggle in the end, which totally reflected the way Goto gave himself in this match. 22 minutes. The interference didn't hurt at all, I thought. It led to a great table bump by Kenny Omega. It also led to a dramatic finishing sequence. And the only reason that those two only had this match was because they have such great chemistry, which was pretty obvious, because Goto didn't win anything to get here. And again, Goto was defeated here. So, where do we go from here?
It was so sad. I also love that the crowd... there was a great near-fall where Omega hit the fisherman suplex onto his knee, and Goto got up, and when he kicked out, he got a great reaction from the crowd. I noted here. I thought the crowd really bought into Goto despite everyone knowing the result of this match, I think, if you've been watching this company for any amount of time. And that's why I love Goto so much, and why he's so inspirational to me, because every time, it seems like at least once or twice a year, Goto can never come back. Is the storyline with something that happened. And he always brings us back into it in his matches through his own work and his own guts, and I loved it. Where to go with him next? It's just, he's just the odd man out right now. The timing's wrong for anything big right now. I do think he could very well be in a tag team with either Yoshihashi or Ishii for the World Tag League, and they would make a lot of sense to get the Dome title shot, the tag title shot at the Dome, because other than that, I can't see anywhere else to go unless he, or I did have an idea where he could, if this Shibata and Go match here gets wild and reckless on the Noah show, Goto could come in and team up with Shibata again as well and be involved in the Noah storyline as well. I think that would be another good place for him.
Oh man, yeah, that could work too. But the great thing about Hirooki Goto also in this match and throughout his entire career is, you know, that Goto is not winning the big matches. But he has this, I don't know, he has this, this ability to make you believe that he's winning. Also in this match, there were some incredible spots, as you mentioned, the Kaiten or the Shoten Kai, where I found myself to believe that he really would win this match, but I knew deep down that he wouldn't win. But in my heart,
very similar to Ishii versus Naito earlier in this year.
Yes, very similar.
Maybe we didn't believe deep down. Maybe we knew deep down, but we wanted to believe because he deserves it because he's been through so much. We want to believe, but it didn't happen. Omega also had a great performance as well. Not to take anything away from him.
No, Omega is an amazing big match wrestler and amazing personality as well. And he totally deserves the spot he's in right now. But just back to Goto. He makes you still believe in him, and that's just, I think, what has brought him to this position. And this is the position he's in New Japan, and it's a position somebody has to be in, and he's making the best of it, I believe.
Yeah, totally agree with you on that. But one day, I'm still holding out hope that one day they do give him a chance, because I would love to see how it goes when he finally gets the big win.
Yeah.
I would love to see how it would go.
One Nakanishi reign, he could.
Watch title.
Right. But yeah, Kenny Omega, what a year he has had, losing the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship in the Tokyo Dome on January 4th to Kushida. The next night, pinning Shinsuke Nakamura, attacking AJ Styles, throwing him out of the Bullet Club, claiming leadership of the Bullet Club, going on to defeat Tanahashi for the IC title, having a not-so-great reign as the IC champion, losing the championship to Michael Elgin then in a ladder match, then going into the G1, winning it with amazing matches, then here defending the briefcase twice against Yoshihashi and against Hiroki Goto, with also two great matches. And now, only 9 months after he lost the junior title, he is going to main event Wrestle Kingdom, not only the biggest show of New Japan, but the biggest Japanese wrestling show every year. That's an accomplishment. It's really amazing.
Yep, a really great story to tell too as well. You're probably going to see a lot of that in the build up to the show and the video packages and things of that nature. When he wants to be, he can be a great wrestler. I would never take that away from him, but I still find myself fighting against what I saw earlier this year in his IC title reign, because I don't want to see that person main eventing these shows. But as long as we get the Omega we see in this match, I think that there's a lot of upside in Omega right now, and he's got a lot of popularity going right now, a lot of momentum in his favor.
Yeah, you can clearly see the fans want to cheer him. That's what they want to do, and they might get the opportunity to, because in the main event we had Katsushika Okada defeating Naomi Chimaero Fuji, and the prelude to this main event was that Yoshihashi and Okada went to Curtain Hall to a Noah show, challenging Toru Yano and Maro Fuji for the GHC tag team title. They lost when Maro Fuji pinned Yoshihashi with the modified Emerald Flosion, the finisher of Mitsuharu Misawa.
Mm-hmm.
And the press conference before this event, Yoshihashi was praised by Maro Fuji. As Maro Fuji said, he's a good wrestler, has a lot of fighting spirit, he's a strong guy. I'd really like to face him sometime down the road in a singles match. On the other hand, Okada said that the GHC belts are a relic from the past.
Boo.
And in this match, the story was that Okada didn't really get to Maro Fuji. Maro Fuji was blasting him with chops again and basically being somewhat seeming indestructible in this match again, like in the first match in the G1 they two had. But then there was this one moment, Dylan, that turned it all around.
Yes, when Okada had the audacity to disrespect the legacy of Noah even further, when he hit the Emerald Flosion himself, as you said, the move of the great Mitsuharu Misawa. He hit the Emerald Flosion, and that led directly into the finish. Almost, a cherry on top at the point there, hitting the Rainmaker. And the fans booed this. They booed Okada hitting the Emerald Explosion here. And really babyfaced Marufuji to the crowd here. As far as this match goes, I thought it was good. I hated the pile driver on the apron.
Yeah.
They never sell that right, and it never really plays in anything, and I just think it's kind of dumb at this point. But there were some cool counters, too. I love some of Marufuji's counters out of the Rainmaker early on. Marufuji hit a million chops. And as you said, the Emerald Explosion was a big talking point. As I mentioned on Twitter, my only problem with this is that I wish it had been used in a more meaningful moment, as Okada's not been a focal point of this Noah feud, in my opinion. And to me, if someone, one of the heels of New Japan went to Noah and hit this on someone, it would have gotten a huge reaction, even bigger. This was really more mixed. Or if a Noah guy had used it to finally get a big win on New Japan, I think that would have meant a lot. Here, I don't mind him using it at all, or anything like that, and I love that he did something different for once, and it played into the storyline, but I just think it could have been done in a better place, and that's my only real criticism of that, but still a good match, very long main event, very Noah style too, I noted here. This was almost about 30 minutes.
Yeah, but not hitting the 30-minute mark as they always go for in Noah.
Yeah, just short of the 30-minute mark.
Yeah, in my opinion, a good, very good main event. Okada looked strong in the end, which is what they were going for, as he was finally able to overcome Marufuji and hit his Rainmaker. What do you make of Katsushika Okada? He's clearly not Hiroshi Tanahashi.
No. So he's a totally different character than Tanahashi.
Which is good.
Yes, exactly. I totally agree with you. I don't want to see another Tanahashi. Another Tanahashi was Naito's old character. They were going.
Right.
Like, that's what they wanted Naito to be, and that didn't work. Okada, to me, a lot of the storylines that they're pushing with Naito himself now, as well as the post-match where Omega had a stare-down and told him that, hey, you've been given everything by Gato and New Japan, a total shoot-style promo here from Omega. And, and that's kind of Okada's character at this point. He is favored by the company. He's a corporate champion.
He's the golden
and
boy.
Exactly. The golden boy. Perfect example. And someday, one of these other guys that have supposedly been held back will knock him off his pedestal. And I think it's a great difference from Tanahashi, who is seen as a real fan favorite at this point, I feel like. You know, someone who just gets by on will and heart and those type of things. You know, his whole spiel is, I never get tired, pretty much. You know, he always works the hardest. Naito is kind of an anti, a counterculture type person. So they have all these different baby faces or different main adventures and different characters. And I think Okada is great as the heel, much better than when he was more straight-laced. We saw in the previous year, I don't think he was as good there as he is here. He has such great facial expression, and his promo style, to me, it really resonates with me. I remember reading about Final Fantasy Advent Children and how the director of that game gave the Sephiroth voice actor in Japanese instructions to talk as if you're very calm and there's no possible way you can lose. You don't even believe it. And Okada has a lot of that in his promos, I think, here, and I think he does a great job with it.
Yeah, and also to that point, I don't really understand how people still say that the company is trying to portray him as the babyface, because they clearly are not. And being the ace doesn't necessarily mean that you're a perfectly clean-cut babyface, in my opinion, especially not in 2016. What Okada did here was the definition of a Japanese ace, because he defended his company against the other company. That's always what an ace has been doing in Japanese wrestling history, as there were many interpromotional rivalries over the decades.
Yep.
And so Okada is a completely different character from Hiroshi Tanahashi, and they don't want another Hiroshi Tanahashi, as you just mentioned, set the example with Tetsuya Naito. So Okada clearly is better in this role, and it seems to work out. We'll have to wait and see.
I also loved his promo afterwards. After he defended the company, he talked in a way that he was very much above this whole feud.
Yes.
Yeah, he was saying that he didn't fight Marufuji to defend New Japan. He didn't think about it like New Japan versus Noah. he thought about it as Okada needs to win, not New Japan needs to win. Paraphrasing what he said, but I thought that was a great touch too, to again keep up his heel status, pretty much.
Right, yeah. And on the other hand, we had Kenny Omega cutting this promo you mentioned. So we have two guys going into Wrestle Kingdom, and there is, again, as we had with Naito and Okada, there is something for everybody. One being the company guy, the golden boy, and the other one being the guy that people maybe want to cheer, but he's still avoiding the fans. But on the other hand, saying that he's working hard to get to this position, he's taking it, even though there is someone who the company wants to be on top even more than him. So this is all leading to Wrestle Kingdom 11 in Tokyo Dome, January 4th, 2017, Katsushika Okada against Kenny Omega for the Heavyweight Championship. Should be a great main event.
And I will just say one more thing. King of Pro Wrestling, I thought, a really strong show from New Japan, and it shows the difference between when they do the split shows as well as just one big show here. I thought this was a really great show here.
Definitely. I thought the same. I had a great time watching this show. This was a long show, but didn't drag at all, is what I thought. Totally different from some of those Destruction shows, because I thought they dragged, as there was so much filler matches on those shows. But this was a very good show, in my opinion, which built up many things for the upcoming tour, the Road to Power Struggle tour. But before that, we have, of course, Wrestling World 2016 in Taiwan. And here, finally, we are having the big showdown between Yoshihashi and the Bone Soldier.
Yes. Yoshitatsu and the Bone Soldier himself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Here. Yes. Yoshihashi would be a fun match, too. But I wanted to mention to all the listeners out there, I was informed of many things by our great Japanese expert, a very, very cool guy, and he told me about Captain New Japan. I would like to everyone know that he was an amazing amateur wrestler, very elite style of wrestler, just a truly talented guy. You know, he was training since he was 3 years old. He's a former champion in Puerto Rico, former world champion. And he's not, you know, it's just his character that he plays, you know, and he's also a wrestling coach for kids with Tanahashi and Nagata before shows. That's how much they trust him as a true wrestler in his skill set here. Unfortunately, Yoshitatsu is criticized by Japanese fans because he's not good at all, is how it was told to me, and I think that that's not just Japanese fans.
No,
many people agree with that.
He. After his comeback, he really hasn't anything to offer.
No.
On the other hand, the former Captain New Japan, the former Mitsuhide Hirasawa, former Hideo Saito, and now the Bone Soldier, he was at the World Championships for freestyle wrestling three times between 1996 and 2001. He was a Japanese heavyweight champion in wrestling in 2005. So he has a serious background in amateur wrestling, much like Toru Yano, for example. And people wouldn't believe that as well. So yeah, but this Bone Soldier, dude, when I saw the Bone Soldier, I thought he looks worse than some backyarders do.
Well, how long was he in the match you saw?
Like 2 minutes or so.
And how long? How would you say it was too long of that 2 minutes? That he was in?
He didn't do, he didn't do anything positive. He didn't do anything negative. He just did some heel stuff.
That's not that bad. That's not so bad.
Yeah, but he's paired with Yoshitatsu for the entire tour. And, well, at least there is a storyline, you know?
That is true. I'm happy for that. And I will say one more thing on Tatsu. Very great young lion as Naofumi Yamamoto. Him and Goto were in the same class. And if you think the young lions today were really good, they were really great too. And they were super over for their style, and he was involved in the very last ever U30 title match with Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yeah, that may be true without checking. I just believe in your memory. As you just mentioned, Young Lions, I watched some other stuff of the October 8 show they did. I watched Teruaki Kanematsu versus Hirai Kawato. And obviously they are not featuring Kawato in many matches, but Teruaki Kanematsu, he has slightly an edge over Kawato right now, I think. And he's going to be on every show of the Hiroto Power Struggle, so getting more experience. And I really love to watch those Young Lion matches with where they just do those fundamentals, those basic moves. It's just such a nice break from all the crazy stuff happening. Just two young guys trying to learn their craft, so to speak.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think a lot of talk on Twitter is way off. They think that these guys suck or something, and that's why they don't put them on shows. But, you know, they're fine. They're still young. You know, like, these guys are brand new and still learning, like you said. I think
Voice of Wrestling made this point earlier this year when they said there can't always be a Sho Tanaka and Yoai Komatsu.
Yeah, you know, and even then, like I said, they're on pretty much day one, pretty much. Like, this is like they've wrestled a handful of matches overall. You know, Tanaka didn't just start out as a great wrestler in his very first match to the level he became, obviously. And to me, I think that it's more based on, someone was talking to me about on Twitter the other day, that the New Japan Dojo is still kind of in the dark times of the dojo system, and that they care more about how many squats you can do than, you know, you're going to have to do a crap ton of exercises and menial crap like that. And a lot of the other dojos are more focused on finding talent at this point because they need it more. You know, they can't have these more morals. They need talent right now. And New Japan's still very old school in that approach. And that may be something these guys are having trouble with more than their wrestling, per se, in my opinion.
Yeah, totally agree with you there as well. And yeah, then we have the Road to Power Struggle starting on October 21st with a show in Kuroken Hall. And here we have the Super Junior Tag Tournament, which is always featured on the Road to Power Struggle. We have 8 teams, 4 first round matches, starting with Roppongi Vice, Rocky Romero, and Beretta, who have some kind of dissension right now. Don't know where that leads us, but I want to mention that the NEVER Openweight 6-man tag team title match from October 8 was also great, with Kojima, Ricochet, and Finlay defending against Roppongi Vice and Will Ospreay. Another great sequence between Ospreay and Ricochet, so check that one out. And Rocky and Beretta, they are going against the CMLL team of Angel de Oro and Titan.
Yeah, two of my favorites from CML, Titan, one of the best in the world, in my opinion, and Angel de Oro, someone I think gets underrated in lucha circles, but is very over in Japan. Both of these guys were former Best of the Super Juniors participants, and I think they're going to win this match with the breakup storyline probably coming to a head here to set something up for those guys. And I think Titan and Angel de Oro will show out and have a really good match. I'm really looking forward to them in this tournament.
I was thinking maybe Beretta might go to the Bullet Club and form a team with Chase Owens.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would make perfect sense, Drew.
Yeah, maybe. So the second match in this tournament, Ryusuke Taguchi and Fuego, the natural tag team partners.
Yeah, Funky.
Funky, right. Going against Yushin Thunder Liger and Tiger Mask. Sadly not Tiger Mask W.
Tiger Mask 4 is fine. He's cool. Don't be mean.
I'm not mean, but, you know, Tiger Mask W has been so spectacular in his one appearance.
He's only had one match. This rookie doesn't deserve it. Someone said that he should be in the Cruiserweight Classic next year, and I said, this rookie doesn't deserve it. Well, he's the next Ho-Ho Loon.
Oh, boy. Come on.
Okay, I'm kidding. Everyone knows I'm kidding.
Next matchup, Will Ospreay teaming with Ghetto, which is, well, yeah, weird. Just the Chaos team against Ricochet and David Finlay, who had made a great job this on their tag team title challenge. And in the main event, the Young Bucks going against Taichi Ishimori and ACH.
Yeah. How much are you looking forward to this tag team of Ishimori and ACH in New Japan?
Yeah,
great
they
team.
Had been great in the NTV Junior Heavyweight Tag Team League this summer already. We have been talking about that.
Yep.
Happy for ACH that he is getting this opportunity, and I hope they win this match and go on to win the entire thing. It's either that or it's either that they are winning or losing in the first round. There's nothing in between, I think.
Ishimori is on the team. Yeah, he represents Noah, so look out.
Okay.
But no. I totally agree with you on that one. I'd love to see those two versus the Luchadors in the finals. I think they would put on a hot match. ACH, awesome. Very interesting that he publicly basically said he was divorcing Ring of Honor, but no problem bringing him in here.
No.
No, and I think that team with Gato and Ospreay was just to get Ospreay on the card, and then they're just like, we don't need Jeto and Gato, even though they make way more sense. Just put Ospreay on
there. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, and this tour, then the tournament continues on October 30, and then we go on to Power Struggle in Osaka on November 5th, with the Super Junior Tag Tournament Finals and five other announced matches. Tomohiro Ishii and Yoshihashi challenging the Guerrillas of Destiny for the IWGP Tag Team title. Bushi defending his junior title against Kushida, if he's able to return to that date. Shibata defending the NEVER title against Evil. We have a special singles match with Tanahashi against Sanada, where I expect Tanahashi to get his win back, basically.
Yeah, and little doubt in that finish, I don't think.
Yeah, and then the IC title match, Naito defending against Elgin, which I think pretty much sets up Tanahashi and Naito for Tokyo Dome.
I totally agree with you on that one. I think that this sets up Naito and Tanahashi perfectly. We all suspected this all along, and it should be really cool. It should be a really cool atmosphere to see the tried and true hero of Tanahashi versus the rebellious heel Naito, that's also very popular in Shirin.
Yeah, and that's basically the New Japan update. It's going to be a nice tour with some unique matches, with the Mexicans coming in and mixing up with the Japanese. For example, we have a match here. I just see on November 2nd, Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, Angel de Oro, and Titan against Tenkoji, Ricochet, and David Finlay. So they are mixing that up pretty great. And there is, on some cards, there is Ishimori, ACH, and Fuego teaming. So there's going to be a fun tour this time. But yeah, this is...
I just want to say real quick that I really hope that Elgin doesn't get left behind on the Dome show, because he really seems like an odd man out right now. After he does drop the title, the fall to Naito in all likelihood, I hope he still retains the spotlight of some sort on the Dome.
Yeah.
He rocks.
He does. He does. So yeah, this New Japan tour features, of course, Taichi Ishimori from Pro Wrestling NOAH. And, after talking about New Japan and NOAH, we gotta get into Pro Wrestling NOAH as well. We mentioned that Okada has been responsible for a good draw in Currican Hall recently for Pro Wrestling NOAH, which is on the
surface. Many people took this as a great news.
Yeah, I made this point on Twitter as well. On the surface, of course, this is good for Pro Wrestling NOAH to finally have been able to draw well again. But if you look at it closer, with their own guys on top, they draw around 800 and 900 fans. And now, with Okada, Yoshihashi, and Toruyano, three New Japan guys on top, they were able to almost sell out Currican Hall. This is a bad sign for the promotion. In reality, this is just another nail in the coffin. Or
yeah.
Would you disagree with that?
No, no, I totally agree with you. And you can tell, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that these companies are starting to blend together more. And this wasn't just done for giggles. You know, this was not accidental, nor something that should just be ignored or be nothing. It clearly is on purpose and clearly means something. And what it means is not good for Noah right now.
Yes, as New Japan is bringing in more guys. Shibata's coming in. Juice Robinson is coming in. Tomoaki Honma and Togi Makabe are coming in for the next tour. Going to be interesting to see where Noah goes from here. Just get this. Killer Elite Squad, they left in July, returned after 2 months for the September tour to win every single match, and now they are gone again. In their final match, they defeated Goshi Ozaki and Maibach Taniguchi.
Well, that's just great. Two of Noah's biggest stars at the heavyweight division. But, you know, it goes to show it's the problem with this all along. Like, ever since these guys have come in from New Japan, no stars from Noah have been made whatsoever in this storyline. The closest being Nakajima, and he's yet to be made. But hopefully that's going to be happening soon. And all I know about it is you can't blame the roster for what's happened here. This is all about the people in charge of Noah, the people who have just let everything fall apart from day one. Everything I've been told from day one is that everyone thinks that Jado and New Japan and Bushiroad are just running roughshod over Noah and can just do whatever they want. But everything I've heard is that Noah lets this happen. They have allowed it to happen. And that's what I don't understand. That is what irks me the most. And I just, the epitome of that, as we saw on October 8th, what happened, Stricker, on that show?
On that October 8th show, besides Yoshihashi and Katsushika Okada challenging for the GHC Tag Team title, we had Yado and Gedo, the world-class tag team, of course, going for the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team straps that were, to that point, held by Momono Zeishun, Atsushi Kotoge and Daisuke Harada, and Kotoge, double champion to that point, junior singles and tag team champion, tapped out to the crossface of Yado, and the titles changed hands. Yado and Gedo, for the first time, I believe, since 2007, are tag team champions again.
The GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion, finally ending the horrendous reign of Kanemaru. I was so happy when that happened, when Kotoge got the title. And this is their follow-up to that. The team that is not even ruled good enough to be in the Junior Tag League of New Japan, because they replaced Jado with Ospreay.
Yeah.
That right there, that just tells you right there, the juniors are the last bastion of hope for Noah right now. They are the team that still pushes forward. They all try hard. They all look great. Why, in God's name, were people defending this on Twitter? I have to turn to the listeners on this one. If you defended this, at me on Twitter, because you need to expose yourself, because I'm very unhappy with you right now. Because this is insane. This was insane. Jado and Gedo should not be beating Momono Seishun Tag. No. Now, if someone had if I were in the Noah booking room and someone had offered this as a suggestion, I would have fired them right away if I ran Noah. That's how stupid I think this is. And just another nail in the coffin of the arc, unfortunately.
So, yeah.
But at least Kotoge got the singles title.
At least there's that. So the last time Yado and Gedo were tag team champions was indeed in 2007, when on January 1st, 2007, they defeated Don Fuji and Masaki Mochizuki for the War International Junior Heavyweight Championship and lost the belt in July to Ryo Saito and Susumu Yokosuka back then. And Let's for a second look at the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title, the GHC version. Taka Michinoku and El Desperado held the belts for 203 days when finally on October 4, 2015, Momono Zeishun were the tag team that got the titles back to Noah from Suzuki-gun. They held the titles then for 167 days, lost it to Hajime Ohara and Kenno on March 19, 2016, who went on to have a monster reign of 17 days when they lost the belts back to Momonosuke Shun. They held the belts for 186 days, and now Yado and Gedo are tag team champions. That's horrible.
Well, I liked that, Chokipo Gon and, you know, Momonosuke Shun tag feud earlier in the year. So
The feud was good. We talked about that feud, but the title switches made really no sense in my estimation.
No, they probably should have just avoided all that joke. That's what I'm saying. You take what you can get with this crew. Like I said, it's not the roster. That's really my point of all this. It's not, because there are pieces here. If you made a couple of key additions, if you had some of these outsider guys coming in, you could have a hoot of a show, pretty much. But these guys are not in positions to succeed. Even the junior heavyweights, which the junior heavyweight division is awesome, they're just not put in position to succeed.
Yeah, and that's a huge chunk of the problem they are having right now, because it's such a dire situation for basically everyone involved from the Noah side that it has come to the point, and I'm not making that up, because I've been told that people just don't give a shit anymore. I'm not saying that there is no one in Noah that still cares for the promotion and that still wants the promotion to succeed. But in a situation like this, you stop believing in yourself, maybe, and also you stop believing that there is a solution to the problems you're having. And get this, Minoru Suzuki, he is now doing outside bookings. For example, he went to What Culture Pro Wrestling in England. He is doing Heat Up, the big Heat Up show.
Yeah.
And he's not the only one.
Now, we previewed that show a couple of episodes back.
Yeah, we did. And he's not the only one getting outside bookings. Nishinaga, the head referee of Pro Wrestling Noah, recently did the Tenkaichi finals for 0-1. That is a bad sign.
This is not something in common. That is a bad sign right there. When you told me that, it didn't even register with me for a second when you told me that, because that's rough.
Yeah, when the head referee goes out to take other bookings from other promotions,
exactly.
The immediate future for Pro Wrestling Noah is somewhat safe because of the draw they had in Kirkenhall, and the tour is right now, the autumn navigation tour is right now going on. There are a couple of New Japan guys, as we mentioned, coming in. For example, we have two shows. Let's go over the two final shows of this tour, because there isn't anything too exciting on this tour. But the two final shows on October 22nd in the Diffa Ariake, we're having Akitoshi Saito versus Shiro Tomiyoso. We have Yado Gedo and Yoshinari Ogawa versus Kenno, Hajime Ohara and Hitoshi Kumano. We have Mohamed Yone, Quiet Storm, Atsushi Kotoge and Daisuke Harada versus Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Taichi, El Desperado and Taka Michinoku on the undercard. Now it's getting slightly more interesting, as we have a Noah versus New Japan tag team match with Go Shiozaki and Maibach Taniguchi against Katsuyori Shibata and Juice Robinson. Juice getting more experience in Japan. Juice Robinson is getting better by the match.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his. You mentioned earlier that Elgin has a real Dr. Death look to him.
Yeah.
I really think Juice has an old-school All-Japan look with his jacket. He's really getting better, really improved. One of the most improved wrestlers this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Two singles matches, Toru Yano against Tomoaki Honma and Mao Michimaru Fuji versus Togi Makabe, setting up the tag team title match one day later in Yokohama, and then a six-man tag match, Sugiura, Minoru Suzuki, and Takashi Iizuka versus Nakajima, Kitamiya, and Kiyomiya, the the young boy. So that's the final card before the big Noah show in Yokohama Bunka Gymnasium on October 23rd. First match, Mohamed Yone, Quiet Storm, and Yoshinari Ogawa against Maybach Taniguchi, Akitoshi Saito, and Shiro Tomoyose. Noah vs. Suzuki Gun in tag and singles matches. Taichi and El Desperado against Daisuke Harada and Hitoshi Kumano. Masaki Tamiya against Takashi Iizuka. Minoru Suzuki against Kaito Kiyomiya. GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Title. Yado and Gedo defending against Kenno and Hajime Ohara. Junior Title. Atsushi Kotoge, this time as the champion against the challenger, Yoshinobu Kanemaru. Tag Team Title, as mentioned, now Michimaro Fuji and Toru Yano against Great Bash Heel, Makabe and Honma. And in the main event, Takashi Sugiura defending against Katsuhiko Nakajima. Right to your point that Nakajima is ready to be made.
Yes. Yes, no doubt about it that he should be taking the title in this match. And it would add so much to the New Japan Noah feud because Sugiura has really not been involved at all in any of that. So I think Nakajima should definitely get the win here.
Yeah, then that would totally be a great addition to the feud he has with Yuji Nagata, as Nagata, of course, being a former GHC champion, and maybe we'll be getting a GHC title defense in Tokyo Dome then.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. The title needs to be defended in the Dome. If they're going all this way to, you know, put over, you know, this feud, they are intermingling the brands more and all that. I really think that they should make the GHC champion at least look somewhat worthy and not put him in a random 8-man tag like they did that 1 year with Mar Fuji.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yano and TMDK in that random 8-man tag.
Right. Yeah, and the other matches, this card looks fine. Masaki Tamiya should be getting a win over Iizuka, really. Not by DQ, please. Minoru Suzuki and Kaito Kiyomiya should be a good match, with Kiyomiya being the fiery young boy babyface here. Yeah, looks like a fine card.
Yeah.
Yeah, but where to go from there?
Those are the questions. But let's not try to think too hard about that. But just with the New Japan guys and this hot feud, I think it should be a pretty cool show. I'm really interested to see how the crowd reacts to this, if they can match the intensity that we've seen in the New Japan fold.
Yeah, I haven't seen the October 8th show with the New Japan guys coming in, so I can't say how it worked out there. Hopefully they are having a good crowd and a hot crowd, because they need it desperately. Yeah. And, yeah, well, I think the Global League should be coming up later this year. There will be possibly more New Japan guys coming in for that one. And then, well, all roads lead to the Tokyo Dome. And
yeah,
the road for Noah leads to the big New Japan show. So that's where we're at right now.
I was very surprised. That's another terrible sign, because at this point, the Global League starts this time every year in October. It's true. You know, been traditionally held in October the last couple of years.
Let me check with the tour schedule.
Yeah, they've not had any announcements towards the blocks or...
That's true.
You know, yeah, competitors or anything like that. And I can't see that as a good sign either.
Global League is about to start on November 3rd.
Okay, just a little late start this year, but that should... Hopefully we'll get some more information about that in the coming weeks. As soon as we do, we'll update everybody about it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's really all there is to say about Pro Wrestling Noah. Hopefully, situation gets better, but I'm not too confident about that. But let's end the show on a positive note for Noah. As you mentioned, as you like to mention always when we talk about Noah, the junior situation in Noah is still looking good, with Kenno, Ohara, Harada, Kotoge, those guys really tearing it up, with now Taichi Ishimori going over to New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's always something to look out for.
Couldn't agree more. They always do their best. They always have good matches. Hopefully they can not be destroyed by booking going forward. That would be just swell.
Yeah. So, that has been the first part of our shows this week about New Japan and Pro Wrestling Noah. We will be back later this week with a look at all the other promotions, as I mentioned in the introduction, all the other promotions we usually talk about. Thanks for listening. Please rate and review us at iTunes, subscribe to our feed, and so much from me. You can follow me at Twitter at STRIGGA at Strigger. You can go to purulove.com where I post cards and results, and also at cagematch.net if you want to find any information about, well, not any pro wrestler on the world, but a lot of pro wrestlers on the world. Dylan.
First of all, Cage Match is a great site. I love that the servers got back up during the time between our last during our last podcast and this one. So everyone check that out. Any promotion, not just pro res, literally all over the world, and I'm talking Brazil, Italy, South Africa, so many guys are there. As for me, check out ProResSpirit.net for all sorts of results and kooky results of kooky promotion. And speaking of kooky Twitter, follow Dylan0PS, the Phantom of the Opera, for Halloween, because I'm celebrating Scariest Month of the Year. That's my favorite horror movie, if you want a trivia note on myself. Also, I would like to mention, I would like to shout out that I've joined up on MLW's official forum, the MLW Clubhouse.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I answered Jarella Jarell's question on the forum. That Striga held me back from answering all these weeks. I'm kidding. We actually completely forgot about that.
Just forgot.
But
that.
Don't worry. If you want to know, I've only seen one Gravure Idol AV video in my entire life, and it revolves around Joshi wrestlers. If you want to know the answer to that, go to the forums and check out my answer to Drill and Drill. And just keep listening to the show, support it, give us big ratings on iTunes and Stitcher and all those places, subscribe. It helps us out a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And then I guess it's goodbye for now, but check us out later this week.
Sayonara.
Yeah.
This is the MLW Radio Network.